It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of Westerns. Later on, it's Have Gun, Will Travel from 1959. But first, an episode of Dr. Six Gun. This first heard on NBC on October 24th, 1954.
Across the rugged Indian Territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy. His medical bag strapped on one hip, his six-shooter on the other. This is Dr. Six Gun. The National Broadcasting Company brings you another episode in the exciting adventure series, Dr. Six Gun. Gray Madsen, M.D., was the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian Territory. Friend and physician to white man and Indian alike, the symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless West of the 1870s, this legendary figure was known to all as Dr. Six Gun.
Poets have written of the beautiful and romantic signs of the changing seasons. The falling leaves, the dazzling snow, the daffodils of spring. Well, here in the territory we have our signs, but they are most often of a grimmer and less beautiful nature. The bloated bodies of cattle drowned by spring floods. Tongues blackened by thirst in the summer drought. The howling of the twisters coming up from Texas. And in the fall, I am the sign of the season. And who am I? Pablo, the gypsy peddler. And this is my friend, Midnight. He is a raven, but he too is a sign.
Cold wind. Who's buying the drinks?
You see, winter approaches, and I make my swing of the territory. Pushing into the Three Forks country and the Badlands settlements, bringing a last chance to buy my estimable wares before the snows and cold weather close the trails. Occasionally, I am joined on my annual circuit by my good friend, Doc Sixgun, a favor I do not usually return when he is forced to repeat the journey in less pleasant weather. We were riding one evening, looking for a sheltered place to camp, when suddenly, Doc's horse shied and bucked.
Look out! Over!
Doc, are you hurt?
Get my horse.
Oh, now! Whoa!
Stand there!
Come here, boy.
Hey, what's the matter with you?
Are you all right, Doc?
Oh, nothing broken. What's the matter with this crazy...
Hey, stand, boy!
Oh, there, what's the matter? Rattlesnake?
Doc, I think I see it.
Huh?
Look, behind that rock, that tree.
Where, what... Oh, come on.
Better tie the horses.
Can't see it from the trail. He must have smelled it. Maybe they're swinging back and forth.
All right, now. Whoa. Stand easy.
Come on.
And there is a tree with a bitter crop.
He's dead, all right.
Well, hang by the neck. Why not? What choice did he have?
Give me your knife.
Yes. Stiff. Who is it?
I don't know. Well, they did it clumsy. He strangled to death.
An Indian, I think.
Hard to tell. Just wearing jeans and a work shirt.
He looks Indian.
Or Mexican. Or just a fellow with a sharp nose and dark skin. Must have happened yesterday.
There are many horse droppings here in the clearing. There were, I would say, a dozen horses.
That's about the usual odds.
What do you think happened, Doc?
I know a man was murdered. Come on. There's a shovel in the pack. Give me another stone.
Huh?
Doc, how long will three stones piled one on the other last on this trail?
Well, you got to do something. Think we ought to say something?
What?
I don't know. A few words.
Which ones? We don't know who it was. A Mexican would be a Catholic, or an Indian who is a worshiper of the sun or the moon. Doc, we caught him down, buried him, marked his grave. We have made our point.
Well, maybe we'll find out who he was when we get to Three Forks.
Maybe.
We better get some sleep.
Here?
Why not?
Of course. Why not? And so we hobbled the horses and built a fire and refilled our bottles at the nearby spring. It was a still night with a touch of rawness, and we sat by the fire with our blankets around our shoulders.
Lonely, isn't it?
The trail? It's always lonely.
No, I mean, look, those stones. In a day, they'll fall over. The next fellow along the trail will build his fire against them and then kick them over in the morning. That's the end of it.
Doc, that is the end of it for everyone. What's the difference whether he's on the trail to Three Forks or behind a white picket fence in some town?
But when there's a gravestone and somebody knows where it is, who cares, well, it doesn't seem so lonely.
A dead man is a dead man.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. You'd think I'd get over the way I feel when I see somebody dead. I've seen enough of them. You'd think a doctor...
Well,
would...
perhaps a doctor is the least to accept it.
Maybe. Well, we better get to sleep.
And in the morning, when I awoke, Doc was standing over the pile of stones.
Hey, Pablo, come here.
Wait till I untie the knots in my back. Oh,
come here.
What is it? What is it?
Look.
What?
A bowl here by the stones.
What's in it?
Some kind of cornmeal. It was here when I woke up.
What's the clay bottle?
Water. It was next to the bowl.
Many tracks?
No. Thought it'd be hard to tell in this turned earth. We chopped it up pretty good.
I didn't hear anything.
Neither did I.
You were wrong, Doc. Somebody who cares knows where the grave is.
I guess so. Wonder who.
And it could still be either Mexican or Indian. I've seen food left at gravestones on the other side of the river in Texas. And the Apaches leave grave offerings. So do the Paiutes and the Shawnees.
Seems strange. I mean, leaving food and water.
Oh, why stranger than flowers? The dead cannot enjoy fragrance either.
No. Well, we better get riding. We're due into Three Forks this afternoon.
We rode into Three Forks, a metropolis consisting of a row of sod huts, a few adobe buildings, and one frame house that contained the post office, surveyor general's office, sheriff's office, jail, and town hall, all in four rooms and an attic. Doc and I split up. I set up shop on the tailgate of a wagon opposite the brown clay building that housed the saloon, and Doc set up shop in the jail, which was the cleanest place he could find. We met that evening in the cantina, where the oil lamps, the dirt tracked in from the street, and the customers combined to give the place a definite atmosphere.
You know, Pablo, every time I get into this place, the Bull Run Saloon back at Frenchman's Ford looks more and more like a palace.
Doc, you are lucky. The coffee you are drinking is merely poisonous. But this whiskey... Yeah, it defies description. No man in his right mind would touch it.
Then why do you?
Well, it's the only saloon in town.
Say, Pablo, did you hear anything today?
About what?
The hanging, the man we found.
Did you?
Oh, I saw the women mostly and kids. I didn't get a chance to find anything out.
Nor did I, Doc. I have found that men who take a fellow creature out and leave him hanging in the countryside are generally touchy about
it. Well, it's been bothering me. I keep thinking that...
Doc.
What?
There's someone behind you.
Yes, what is it?
Senor, es médico.
Si, ¿Qué quiere?
Venga.
¿Qué pasa? ¿Está enfermo?
Venga, señor médico. Por favor, venga.
Someone must be sick, doctor.
All right, all right. Vengo, señor. Vengo.
The woman led us out of the cantina without another word. She was young, and she would soon be a mother. She walked ahead of us along the street to the edge of town.
She's Indian, isn't she?
I don't know. I can't tell, Doc. No markings on her blanket. I have not seen jewelry like that before.
She's not Spanish. Some kind of dialect, even in those few words.
Horses.
Yeah, she's motioning to us to mount.
Doc, these are our horses. I left them in the corral behind the jail.
Señores, andamos.
Si, pronto. Looks like we ride. Oh, oh boy.
I don't know why I bother. She's not likely to buy ribbons or needles from me.
There she goes. Up there. Come on, boy.
North from Three Forks along the Vares River and then turned up into the hills. It was nearly dawn when we finally reined in before a cave that disappeared into the hillside and inky black. We dismounted and the woman took the horses toward a stream that ran about 50 feet away. Doc and I stood in the dark at the mouth of the cave and waited.
Well,
Doc, I think there is someone in the cave.
Hmm?
Listen. Hey, you can hear breathing.
There's somebody sick.
Are you going in?
Why not? Hello? Hombre? Yo, medico.
Hey, doctor, I'm here by the wall.
Pablo, go back to the horses. I've got a lantern in my pack.
No, no light.
Why not?
They will see. Los Españoles.
You are afraid of Spaniards?
No, I am not afraid.
Doc, the woman is back. She's sitting in the mouth of the cave.
What is it, old grandfather? Are you sick?
I am dying.
I must have light.
The sun will rise soon.
How far back does the cave go?
I do not know.
Suppose I bring my lantern in. If we can hide the light, it'll be all right.
It does not matter. I will send the woman.
No, no, she shouldn't have ridden this far. Let her rest.
I'll go, Doc. I'll be right back.
Well, hijo, what hurt you?
My heart.
Yes?
And my soul.
Do you want the medico or the padre?
I have not left the religion of my fathers for the Spaniard's God.
What is the religion of your fathers?
It does not matter.
Are you sick?
I am old. I have the coughing sickness you brought to our country 400 years ago.
Oh. Do you spit blood?
Si.
How many years?
Since I was young.
Why do you send for me now?
Because I am dying.
You're Indian, aren't you?
Si.
But not from around here.
No.
I have the lantern, Doc. Shall I strike a light?
Back farther in the cave. I'll come back, old man.
I will not go anywhere.
We went back into the cave and lit the lantern. And then Doc and I carried the old man to it. The young woman sat at the mouth of the cave, looking out into the night and listening. Doc examined the old man and then rolled down his shirt sleeves.
You're right, Grandfather. You are dying.
I knew.
Why did you send for me?
For the woman.
Is it her time?
Soon.
Don't you have any people near here?
My people are 1,000 miles away.
Where are you from? What tribe are you?
From Mexico. I am not of a tribe. I am of a nation. A nation at war for 400 years.
War?
With the Spaniards.
Why are you this far north? You should have known you would die quicker in the cold.
Do you ask the rabbit why he runs through the bush when you can hear the growl of the wolf behind him?
And who is the wolf?
The Spaniards. The conquistadores. The men in iron armor who tortured for gold. The seekers after El Dorado, the golden man.
Now, just a minute. What Spaniards?
Cortes, Coronado, De Soto, There are many. They have killed my fathers. They have killed my son. They will kill me and the woman and her baby.
Easy, grandfather. Take it easy.
What is it, Doc?
He's fainted. Oh. He's got consumption, starvation. I don't know what else.
What does he mean, the Spaniards? The only Spanish in the territory are the sheep herders and the padres of the missions in the south.
Delirium, I suppose.
Oh, look, Doc. His eyes are opening. Oh.
Easy, grandfather, easy.
I want you to promise, when the woman's time comes, be with her. The child must live.
All right, all right. Now, just lie back.
He will be the last of the line. If he dies, they will have ended us.
What line, grandfather? Who are you?
The chief.
Sure.
The sun chief. The descendant of the sun god of Montezuma, who was murdered.
Montezuma?
You have never heard of him?
Of course. He was the chief of the Aztecs in Mexico when the Spaniards came.
He was the emperor of an empire that stretched from the Rio Grande in the north, south to Yucatan, and the land of the Mayas. And he died strangled by a Spaniard's hand. The line of Montezuma's blood ends here. The child must live.
Viejo, let the woman come back to Three Forks with me. I can take care of her there.
No. No, she would not be safe. In town are the Spaniards. They would kill her.
How'll I take care of her then? I can't wait here.
I will send you a message somehow.
What's that?
The sun rises. She is the last who knows the chants of the sun as our fathers worshipped. In the olden times, there were human sacrifices as the sun rose. Go now, but return when it is her time.
And so, with the rising sun at our backs, we rode down out of the hills and back to the settlement of Three Forks. But when we got back to the cantina, there was someone waiting for us. An elegant gentleman with silver sewed to his trousers and a broad cartwheel sombrero of snowy white.
Pardon, senores.
Yes?
You are the Dr. Manson, are you not?
That's right.
Permit me. I am Don Emilio Maria Colon Iwaska.
How do you do?
I am here in the territory on a mission of some official significance. I have had the cooperation at the marshals of the United States.
Oh, you're after somebody?
Please do not mistake me for a police officer, senor. I am the proprietor of La Hacienda de Los Angeles, a considerable estate. But as a patriotic duty, I have brought 12 of my followers with me. We have been searching for a notorious bandit from our country.
Well, what do you want from me?
We understand that yesterday you were approached by his woman here and that you rode off with her.
Well?
Senor, where did she take you? Where is she now?
Why do you want to know?
I told you, senor. They are a notorious and bloodthirsty group of bandits. We have come all the way north to bring them back. Luckily, we encountered one of them the other day.
Where?
Outside of town. Unfortunately, he was shot trying to escape.
Oh, a young man, blue shirt and pants, with short black hair and a scar across his nose?
You did see him before then?
No, I didn't. He was shot trying to escape?
Oh, yes. Hmm. It was most unfortunate because we wished to bring him back for trial.
Shot, huh?
Oh, of course.
Then why do you want the woman?
Why? Senor, they are the brains of a desperate group of criminals who have caused trouble for many years in the haciendas of my friends and myself. You will do us a great favor if you will tell us where we can find them.
Senor Ratzka, I'm afraid I am barred from telling you anything by the ethics of my profession.
Of course. Honor. I understand. I am an Hidalgo of pure Spanish descent. I understand these things. Say no more.
next day, a small Paiute Indian boy on a pony rode up to Doc, dropped a handful of dried fruit at Doc's feet, and rode away before we could speak to him.
That's it. Pablo, that's the signal. Yeah. The woman's time has come. Get the horses saddled.
Again, we rode up into the hills north of Three Forks to the cave. The woman was inside now. Doc went straight to her. She lay on a blanket on the ground, and she didn't say a word. The old man crouched beside her, and together they waited.
She'll be all right now for a few minutes.
If there were another here, I would not have sent for you.
Your son was in this country, wasn't he?
He was. He is dead.
Did you leave the food at the stone marker?
She did. She saw you bury him. That is why we sent for you.
The men who did it are still in Three Forks.
I know. The Spaniards.
Mexicans?
No. No, doctor, you do not understand. In the back countries, where the haciendas of Don Vasca and his friends stretch over the countryside, the lords of the land are the Spanish, tracing their line back to the conquest. The people of the villages, the men who starve on their own lands, they are the Indians, my people.
They said your son was a bandit. They had papers from the government.
They are the government in that land.
They told me he was shot trying to escape.
You saw him. You buried him.
Yes. But why does a man of Vasquez's position follow you all the way up here?
Because we are the blood of Montezuma.
That doesn't make sense.
Ask them. Ask my son. He comes again.
All right, easy now. Just relax.
Doc, Doc, horses!
Not now.
I can see them in the moonlight.
Wait with her, old man. See. Call me when it comes again. Pablo, what is it?
Look. See?
About 10 or 12 of them. Vasco.
He probably followed your trail, Doc.
Señor. Señor Medico.
What do you want?
I come closer. We want them, the bandits.
There are no bandits here, senor.
Do not chill them, senor. We have come a long way.
Don Vasca?
Yes. Get back to her.
She will call.
Listen, Vasca. There are no bandits here.
You do not understand, senor. We have the papers from the government.
You said the young man was shot.
That's right, trying to escape. Tell them to surrender to us now.
Vasca, you're lying. You hanged him. I cut him down myself.
Listen, senor. Let us be frank. Our haciendas are at war. They have been for 400 years. Always there are some of these bandits in the hills talking, and our people listen and fight and make trouble. We are tired of it, senor. When they are gone up in the hills, those bandits, there will be peace. Tell them to surrender.
Maybe you better, old man, for her and the child.
Surrender? Do you think we would live? You saw my son. They know that as long as the line of Montezuma lives, the people will remember it was once their land. They will fight for their fields and their children.
But the woman and the baby.
The child would be an enemy. The child would be the chief.
All right, senor. You give us no choice. We have the warrant for the old man and the woman. If they are killed resisting us, who can blame us?
Look out, Doc!
Pablo, get down. I've got to get back to her. Can you shoot my guns, old man?
As well as you.
Here.
Here, Spaniards! Listen to the voice of Montezuma!
And so in the darkness, the shots rang out. There was no real chance of hitting anybody. In the cave, we were protected. There was only one way to approach, and we had it covered. But Vasca's men spread out and kept up a steady sniper's fire. While at the back of the cave, Doc stayed with the woman.
Doc!
Hmm?
Doc, it's getting light! Pablo, come back here for a minute.
Keep firing, old man. Here's what is it, Doc?
Here, hand me the towel when I call for it. Keep it warm under your coat.
Doc, they've stopped firing outside. I don't like it.
Can you hold the lantern with your other hand?
Yes.
And now, Pablo, the towel.
Medico. Medico, mi hijo.
Madre. Mamita. It's a boy. Es muchacho.
Pobrecito, hijo.
They come!
Niño.
The Spaniards come! The Spaniards!
Look out, Doc. Vasquez in the cave. The old man is dead.
He shot her. Drop your gun, Vasca. Now.
You are dead.
And don't call your men into the cave or you will be as dead as the old man.
The woman's dead, too. Vasca, you rotten, cold-blooded murderer.
I told you, senor. You do not understand. We must have peace on the haciendas. These Indians are sullen or rebellious. As long as madmen like this run wild in the hills, it makes things difficult for us.
I'll see you on trial for murder, Vasco.
No, no, senor. We have warrants for these people. They are bandits. They were shot resisting arrest. No one will believe otherwise.
I should kill you myself.
But you won't. The baby is born?
A boy.
And left motherless. Ah, a pity. Doctor, I am not without heart. Let me have the child. I will see that he is well taken care of.
Like his father and mother.
Senor, we have come a long way to find these last of the Aztecs. Give me the child.
Vasca, if you harm this baby or try to, I'll see you hanged here in the territory. You like things nice and legal, don't you? Well, you have no warrant for a newborn baby. Now you have a count of three before we shoot you down.
Ah, senor, you see the way of fate. Who would have thought to procure a warrant for a baby? Well, adios, senor muchacho. We will meet again. Vaya con día, senor.
Hush, hush. Quiet, little Montezuma.
Doc soon after took a trip south below the border with the baby, and he came back alone. I do not know with whom he left the child, the last of the Aztec chiefs. But it was 10 years after that I heard a strange story. A great man in Mexico, Don Emilio Maria Colon y Vasca, had been found stretched across a stone in the hills with a knife through his heart. And the doctor said he must have died just as the sun rose.
You have been listening to Dr. Six Gun, brought to you each week at the same time by the National Broadcasting Company.
Dr. Six Gun, on Tuned to Yesterday from its first season on NBC, broadcast on October 24th, 1954. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Have Gun, Will Travel, with an episode first seen on the small screen in April of 1958, then translated to radio a little less than a year later on March 22nd, 1959. John Daner stars in the story, The Five Books of Owen Deaver.
In a few minutes, mister, this town will be owned by a band of renegades. And you'll be dead.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
I thought you'd never get down, hey boy.
Oh, it was a big job, Mr. Paladin.
Well, let's hurry. The stage is ready to leave. The driver promised to wait for me.
Why you want so many things in one suitcase?
Make my job easier if you take two suitcases.
It's easier for me when I only have one bag to carry on a long trip. Oh, give me the bag. I'll take it from here. There's no need for you to get wet. Goodbye, hey boy.
Goodbye, Mr. Paladin. Oh, Mr. Paladin.
I'm terribly sorry. Here, let me help you up. Please, forgive me, please. Are you hurt?
Oh, my dress. My dress. It's soaking.
This is terrible.
You've ruined my dress.
Please, I'll buy you another dress. I'm catching the stage, and they're ready to pull out. I must go, but I'll be back in about 10 days.
Well,
I'll take care of it then. I'll buy you another dress. Oh, here's my card. I'm registered at the hotel.
Have gun, will travel. Wire Paladin, San Francisco.
Dandruff bothers most men, most women too, so listen. Today you can get rid of embarrassing dandruff in just 3 minutes. Yes, with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. Unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes. It's the quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. That's not all. Using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Simply apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. And never forget, gentle Fitch can also leave your hair up to 35% brighter. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too, use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today, only 59 cents.
I looked forward to this trip to North Fork, not because of the job there, which turned out to be routine, uneventful, but because it would give me the opportunity to visit some old friends of mine in Three Winds on my way home, Sheriff Barry Deaver and his wife. The 20-mile ride from North Fork through sand dunes, buttes, and low hills led me to an unusually quiet Three Winds. The one saloon in town was quiet, too.
What'll it be, mister?
Whiskey.
If you're going to be in town for a while, you better check that gun in with the sheriff.
Ain't it against the law to wear a gun in Three Winds?
It sure is. Sheriff Deaver's the only one who can carry a firearm in this town.
Sheriff Deaver has changed his laws since I was here last. Something new?
6 months new.
Well, I'm on my way over to Deaver's office. I'll turn it in then if need be. He's a friend of mine.
Yeah? You from Philadelphia?
No. California.
I didn't think you looked like an Easterner. I thought the only friends Owen Deaver had left lived in Philadelphia.
Owen? No, I'm a friend of Owen's father.
Oh, well, didn't you hear? Old Barry's dead.
He dead? Barry Deaver?
Yeah, last fall. Died of consumption. Owen came back from law school in Philadelphia and took over his shop. Uh-oh. There's going to be trouble for sure.
Why, it's just a couple of raunchy cowboys.
Yeah, but Deaver will arrest them. He don't allow no shooting in town.
Yeah, look here, French. One customer in this saloon on a Saturday afternoon.
Hey, what time do the girls come in, Whiskey Man?
No girls allowed in this saloon.
No girls?
City law.
Didn't know we was in a city. Only seen one saloon. Takes two to make a city, don't it?
Don't matter, French. We'll go up to North Fork. Plenty of girls up there.
Now, we got to have a drink first. Bring us 2 bottles. One for me and one for Mason here.
You can't sell it by the bottle. Only 4 drinks to a customer. It's the law.
What kind of law are you talking about?
My law. The law of Three Winds.
Well, I didn't know this town was big enough to have a sheriff.
The law says 4 drinks to a person is the quota for a day. Same law says all guns must be turned into my office when you arrive in Three Winds.
Now, what is
that? I'll give them back to you when you leave.
Don't you think you ought to let law-abiding people keep their guns to defend themselves with?
I defend law-abiding people in this town. They don't have to carry guns.
As long as we get them back, I'll go along with your ordinance, Sheriff.
Lay it on the table. All right, you men, I'm waiting.
Mason?
Do what he says.
Yeah. There ain't no use arguing with a load of turkeys shot.
They'll be at my office when you leave town.
Watch it, Sheriff.
My hand just shot my head.
Whose side are you on, anyway?
You can lock him up, Sheriff. He just tried to throw a knife in your back.
You ruined my hand.
Thanks for saving my life. But I'll have to take you in, too.
For what?
For concealing that derringer. You should have turned it in with the other gun. Hand it over.
Look, if I hadn't kept the derringer, you would have been killed.
The law still stands. You'll spend a week in jail.
What about me? What about my hand?
You'll live, but you'll be in lockup till the judge comes through here. Then you'll be tried for attempted murder.
You taking me to jail, too?
No. You'll get out of town. If I ever see you back here again, I'll put you in jail for a year for trespassing. This town's out of limits to you because you've been associated with a murderer.
Well, now, ain't you tall? That shotgun sure makes you something I never heard of before.
Get out of here.
I'm going. But I'll see you again, mister.
What kind of rules are you laying down in this town, Deaver?
Rules that respectful citizens expect from their sheriff.
Well, don't you know if you disarm everyone who comes to Three Winds, you're waving a red flag in front of every gunfighter who thinks he's bigger than the law?
As long as I'm sheriff, there's no one bigger than the law in Three Winds. Let's go.
When friends drop in, let your hospitality show you're sociable in the modern manner. Pepsi, you know, is the favorite of the smart and young at heart.
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable. Pepsi.
Have you tried a Pepsi lately?
All right, get in there.
Deaver, you better get some bandages for this man's hand.
I need a doctor, that's what I need. Or does the law allow a prisoner to have a doctor?
We'll get you fixed up. Ma!
Gotta come the new prisoner. One of them needs a doctor.
You're a fool, a two-headed fool. Shooting that knife out of my hand, you got your brains and your feet. I'll never forget what you did, mister. We could have both been free if you hadn't butted in.
You talk too much, Enfield.
How do you know my name?
Didn't take much to figure you're one of the Enfield brothers and that the kid named French is a member of your gang.
Well, we must be getting famous when tin horns like you know who we are. Well, I'll tell you something. It's going to be mighty miserable for you when my brothers come back to get me out of here. You wish you'd never heard of the Enfield gang.
Oh, and I don't know why you have to arrest every stranger who walks into this town. If I ain't nursing, I'm cooking. And if I... Paladin!
Hello, Ma.
Paladin, bless the stars in heaven. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too,
well,
Ma.
How long has it been? A year? Year and a half?
Oh, no, almost two now.
Oh, and you never met Paladin, did you?
No.
You was away in school, then, son. He helped your pa round up the orneriest, wildest bunch of gunfighters you ever seen. It was the Barton brothers, wasn't it, Paladin?
That's right.
Well, what brings you back to Three Winds? Paladin, what are you doing behind those bars? Owen, how come Paladin's in jail?
Well, Ma,
Did you arrest him, Owen Deaver?
Yes, I did.
Well, you just get him out of there right this minute, do you hear?
I can't do that. He violated the law.
Violated the law. Now, just who do you think you are arresting a man like this? Now, turn him loose. Turn Paladin loose, or so help me, I'll take a paddle and beat you to a blister.
That's all right, Ma.
Well, it ain't all right, neither.
Now that Owen knows that I'm a friend of the family, he and I can talk this out.
We can talk as much as you like, Paladin, but you're going to stay in jail for a week. It's the law.
For a week? For what?
For concealing a firearm and not turning it in.
There you go again. With another one of your stupid ordinances. Now, what's going to come of all your foolishness, Owen?
The law is the...
The law is the law. Listen to him, Paladin. We let him go to Philadelphia to study, and what does he bring back? 5 books, that's all. Those 5 books over there on his desk. The Municipal Code of Philadelphia. And he's been beating the town over the head with them ever since he come back. The ranch hands won't come into town anymore because he won't even let them spit in the street. Why, it's come to the place where nobody's even got any respect for the name of Deaver.
Ma, I don't hold any offense against him. If this is the law of three winds, I want to abide by it. We'll talk it out later. Now, you give me those bandages, and I'll take care of this man's hand for you.
Yeah, all right. I guess there ain't no use arguing with you. Or with Owen either, for that matter.
He's a man of principle and strong will. I'd say he takes after his ma.
Ah, go on with your foolishness. I'm going to start your supper.
There goes a fine woman, Owen. You ought to be proud of her.
I am. She doesn't realize the ways of the old frontier towns are gone.
Are they?
You're going to stand there and talk all day. My hand ain't getting any better.
Owen, have you heard of the Enfield gang?
Enfields? Yeah, I got a circular on him just the other day. It's in my desk somewhere.
Well, this man is Mason Enfield. His partner in the saloon was another member of the gang, the one they call French.
Are you sure?
He's lying, Sheriff. Never even heard of the Enfield gang.
I'll see if I can find the circular.
Now, here's the bandage. Hold out your hand now. Let's see what we can do.
Thanks, Rabbit Head. It's a good thing my left hand's in good shape.
Why,
all
you...
Right, come on, hold it, you... What's the matter, Paladin? Why did you hit him?
Because he tried to hit me. Guess he didn't want me to tell you who he was.
You are right. His picture's here on the circular with the others. And here's the one that was in the saloon with him, French.
Well, French will bring the others back here to get Mason out. 3 more of them, Owen. And they'll shoot this town up and drag the jail down the middle of the street. You're going to need help. Let me out of here.
No.
Owen, I helped your father once. You and I could nail the Enfield gang.
I won't let you out, Paladin. I'll round up a few deputies. We'll be ready for the Enfields when they get here.
I hope you are, Owen, because there's a lot that could go wrong. Owen Deaver, stubborn when it came to upholding his new laws, was inherently a kind-hearted man. He was considerate enough to move me to another cell, which allowed me a decent night's sleep away from Mason Enfield. Next morning, Ma Deaver let me out to have breakfast with her in the kitchen. Owen was out trying to round up some deputies.
Paladin, what am I going to do about Owen and his crazy books?
He's still young. He'll learn in time, if he doesn't get killed first.
You think they'll come? The Enfields?
They'll come.
Yeah, Owen knows how to fight. Mr. Deaver taught him. How to shoot a gun, use his fists, everything. He can hold his own when it comes to fighting. But he never learned the good judgment his father had.
It's a rare youngster who learns wisdom from his parents. It usually comes self-taught through experience.
Did you have any luck, Owen?
No, Volok. What are you doing out of your cell, Paladin?
I let him out.
He's under arrest. Don't you ever let him out again.
What'll you do? Arrest me?
Oh, get back inside, Paladin.
All right, Owen.
Instead of putting him back in jail, why don't you deputize him? He's a friend.
He's also a prisoner. Get in there.
Owen, when your father ran this office, he wasn't afraid to take advice. Not even from a woman.
I'm not, Pa. I don't try to be.
You couldn't be. He was respected and well-liked.
Well, why shouldn't he be well-liked? He never stepped on anyone's toes.
He didn't have to. And he didn't need these 5 books to tell him what was right or wrong.
She's right, Owen.
Now, don't you start in on me, Paladin. What's the matter with everyone? Why can't they understand what I'm trying to do here?
What made you choose the Philadelphia ordinances for Three Winds?
Because they're good ones. I like living in a city guided by laws like these.
But this isn't Philadelphia. There's no mayor here, no town council. All you have is a sheriff and a judge who comes through once a month. It's the sheriff who must decide what's right and what's best for his town.
Yeah, and if the sheriff gets up on the wrong side of the bed one morning, everything's a crime that day. But if he wakes up feeling good, nothing's illegal.
That's why we've got to have a legal written code to live by.
I'm not arguing against that principle, but don't you think that you should write your own code? One that fits your town?
Owen, they're out there.
Who's out there?
The Enfields, out front. I saw them through the curtains. Two men are behind a wagon across the street. And the other one's at the side of the house.
They're waiting for you to come out the front door.
I'll go out the back door and around the side.
You won't have a chance against three killers. Let me go with you.
No.
Ma, get my gun and go with them. Go ahead. You know how to pull a trigger.
You want to get her killed?
Well, I'm not going to stand by and let them come in here and shoot us after you get killed.
There's nothing you can do.
I can draw their fire, give you a better chance.
But they'll kill you, don't you understand?
Who's going with you, Owen, your mother or me?
All right. All right, Paladin, you win.
Get my gun, Ma.
Sure.
Owen, there's a flat roof over the jail. Is there any way we can get up on top without making too much noise?
Yeah, through the kitchen. There's a ladder just outside the back door. Yeah.
Here's your gun.
Thanks, Ma. Let's go.
Get out! There's another one out there.
Yeah. Yeah, either that or the man on the side of the building came around back.
What'll we do?
Go up to the front window and open fire on the two up on the wagon. I'll try to get this man back here.
How?
I'll stay down on the floor and open the door to draw his fire. Now go on, hurry.
All right. Did you kill him?
Yeah. Yeah, he made a good target standing up at the rain barrel. If you'd have crouched behind it.
You think these two by the wagon are the only ones left?
Uh-huh. Now, you take anything on the right.
Uh-huh.
I'll take the left. As soon as one of them raises up to shoot... You got him. You know how to use a rifle.
I had a good teacher. Oh, there goes the other.
He's down. Come on.
Both of them are dead. You're pretty good with a six-gun.
I had some experience with the same teacher you did.
My pa was a man you could learn a lot from.
Yeah. I remember something else I learned from him the last time I was here. It was something he said.
What was that?
That one man doesn't have the right to say what's good for all men. The lawman doesn't try to dictate the will of the people. He reflects it.
Paladin, you know anyone might be interested in buying some books?
Oh, I wouldn't sell those books, Owen. Just put them away for a while. Who knows, someday, Three Winds might have a mayor, town council, or even sidewalks.
Yeah, maybe so.
Come on, we got to dig some graves.
Mr. Paladin.
Hey, boy.
Oh, I knew you'd come in on the stage tonight. I make bet on it.
Well, don't ever make bets on when I'll be returning to the Carlton. Let's get my luggage up to the room, will you, please?
Oh, yes, sir. I know when you come back this time. It's in the air. Hmm.
What's in the air?
Rain. It rains when you leave, and when it rains again, I know you come back. Oh, this time.
What about the young lady... The one I accidentally knocked down when I left?
Oh, you make a very big splash.
Oh?
She's the one I make bet with on your returning.
Oh, then she's still here. Did she order a new dress?
No, not yet. She waited for you. She said she'll ask you to go shopping with her.
Oh. If I remember, she was the most attractive young lady.
Most attractive.
Why don't you make arrangements for this evening, hey boy?
To go shopping?
Of course. But be sure we start in the lounge at 7 with cocktails.
Yes, sir, Mr. Paladin.
Here comes Elmer Blurt, world's lowest pressure salesman.
Nobody home, I hope.
Rudolph the bodybuilder, at your service.
I only came to tell you about the new 1959 Rambler.
Okay, lie down on the table and let's talk.
Well, I don't know.
Lie down!
But the 59 Rambler...
I know. First in sales gains, first in economy, first with personalized comfort.
Couldn't you just count on your fingers?
Imagine, Rambler seats are individually adjustable. Perfect fit, perfect comfort for tall people or short. No more kinks in those leg muscles there.
Oh, woe is me.
No stiff neck either.
Oh, ouch.
Because Rambler has adjustable headrests. Yes, sir, only Rambler has the best of both. Big car room, small car economy. Well, you've sold me. Sign me up.
Okay, but you'll have to carry me out to my Rambler so I can get my order pad.
Rambler outsells all six of the best-selling foreign makes combined. 59 Rambler sales are nearly 2.5 times greater than a year ago. See the success car at Rambler dealers. Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald, and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Sam Rolfe and adapted for radio by Frank Michael. Featured in the cast were Paul Dubov, Helen Klebe, Ken Lynch, Jess Kirkpatrick, and Sam Edwards. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
Have Gun, Will Travel, on Tuned To Yesterday from the 22nd of March, 1959 on CBS. And that brings to a close this hour of Westerns on Tuned To Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.